Okay, so we have a fun topic today because it touches on a lot of different things. It touches on levels of mitzvot, deraita, derabanan. It touches on reasons for mitzvot and to make Din Fox and Noam Carker happy. And it touches on women's issues. So you just can't beat it. Can't beat it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So we know in general there's a rule in halacha that women are exempt from mitzvot asei shehazman grama. Okay, positive mitzvot that have a time-bound component. Although many people have pointed out that as rules go, this is not one of the more comprehensive rules of Jewish history. There are a tremendous amount of exceptions, almost as many exceptions that fit the rule. For example, let's just talk on a deraita plane for a second, guys, not the rabbanon. Give me two deraita mitzvot that in theory seem to be assays that are time-bound. And nonetheless, women are obligated. Alicia.
Shofar.
Okay, actually, what's the truth about shofar? Women are not obligated. But, Alicia, I have good news for you. It was a knowledgeable mistake. We all like knowledgeable mistakes. Why did Alicia say shofar? Because there is a long-standing, hundreds of years minhag, that Jewish women are very zealous to hear the shofar. Okay, so it is really a long-standing minhag. That wasn't invented like 50 years ago. For hundreds of years, women have said, of course, you have to hear shofar Rosh Hashanah. But the reality is that they are exempt. Yes, Jack. Okay, except for? I wanted a deraita. Okay, but you are correct. David Irwin. Okay, which part of Shabbos? Okay, all of it. Give me an asay part of Shabbos. Go, come on, let's go. Live dangerously. Let's go. Oh, that was pretty clever of you. So which part of Shabbos? What? No, not tefillin. Kiddush, yes. Guys, women have the same obligation in Kiddush as men do. Now, in theory, this is actually important. Okay, here we go. When your girlfriends are doing a Shabbos in Airbnb in Tel Aviv, and they look to you for halachic advice, or when your platonic friends are doing a Shabbos in Tel Aviv, and they're looking to you for halachic advice, right? Your advice should be, you guys are absolutely obligated in Kiddush. It doesn't matter that no men are present. Right, Kiddush is not a male mitzvah. It is an equal mitzvah between men and women. Now, does anyone remember what the drasha is? It's going to be important later. What do we say, Tani?
Because there's Shamar and Zachar.
Very good. We say Shamar and Zachar are a tag team. Anybody who's chayiv in Shamar is chayiv in Zachar. That means anyone who can't do malacha also has to say Kiddush. Okay, so women and men have the same chayiv in Kiddush. But let's remember why, because it's going to be important later. Because of the Zachar-Shamar parallel. Okay, does anyone else have a deraita asay that women are chayiv in? Jake Fredkin. Yes, that is correct. Women are absolutely chayiv to eat matzah on Pesach. Now, this is even more important to get the reason down. Okay, what's the reason there? It's another package deal. What's the package deal? Nadav.
For the holiday.
Okay, it's good you said it, even though it's incorrect. We'll get there in a second. Zach Magerman. Okay, you're all thinking correctly, but wrong nonetheless. Nitai? Nope. Anyone? Well, think about it. If Zachar and Shamar are a package deal, maybe there's a package deal between? Oh, Chametz and Matzah. What if we view Chametz and Matzah as a package deal? But it's here's the tag team. Those that can eat Chametz are also those that are obligated to eat Matzah. So notice what? Ah, okay. So it has to do with a hekesh when two things are juxtaposed in the Torah. So the same pasuk that says eat matzah also says don't eat chametz. Okay. Okay, guys. Just 3 seconds. Okay, I'm here. Is that right? Okay. You know, Avner Cohen is one of my favorite students, but he does have a bit of a contrarian spirit. So he always has to say, there has to be like some little expression of contrariness. So if it's not verbal, it's like violating the dress code. And like, it has to be something. Okay, this guy. So
everyone else is wearing Hawaiian shirts. They started wearing,
yeah, but all those shirts. Hawaiian shirts have collars.
No, but I'm wearing the boring shirt possible. They're all wearing, like, really athletic.
Oh, that's your contrariness.
Yeah.
See, it's not because of the dress code. It's like to fight the Hawaiianness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I misinterpreted his contrariness. Okay. Yeah, David Edwards.
It's just so well thought out.
So sorry? No, we said Kiddush, right?
Shema.
Oh, Shema. Let's leave Shema out of it for now. Okay. What? Why is that Zman Grama? How does that make it Zman Grama? Okay, well, you have to define Zman Grama, which we're not going to do right now. Okay, now why did I emphasize this? A, to realize that there are a lot of exceptions. But B, we're about to have a new argument. And it's interesting where the new argument is applied and where it's not applied. And one of the good things about analysis is you say, let's see all the examples we have and try to see if there's a common pattern. So let's look at the first source, because we introduced a concept that I think that Nadav and Zach were using. Here's a Gemara in Megillah. I'm Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim chayavot b'mikra Megillah. Women do have to read Megillah Esther. They are chayav in that. Why? Here's the line. Sha'af hein hayu boto hanis. What does it sound like, guys? Why are they chayav? They were part of the story. Right? They are part of the story of Purim in Persia, and therefore they're included. Okay, now, in theory, let's already notice something. Wait, that's a pretty convincing argument. Wait, so shouldn't that already be a reason for them to be chayav in matzah, right? So already notice that's not the reason the Gemara said to be chayav in matzah. The Gemara had this drush of chametz and matzah. So already you might wonder, is sha'af hein somehow limited? When do we say this argument? When don't we say this argument? So let's take it a step further. So what would be the next mode of analysis? Let us figure out all the places in Shas where this argument appears. So I will say to you guys sometime, you don't have to search through Shas. It is a grand total of three. Okay, but let's see if we can figure out what the other two are. Does anyone know what the other two are? The three places that the Torah uses, Sha'at, Pein, Hoba, Torah, and Ace. Nadav. That's correct. You got to go up with confidence, otherwise you get stuffed. No, we're not talking about derisives anymore. Okay? That limitation is off the table. So women do have a mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles, again, because there's only one left. Okay, we got Megillah, Esther, and Purim. We've got Hanukkah candles. And David Herman.
I'm going to get shofar this time because they have the shofar.
Okay, you guys just insist on throwing shofar in there. Guys, I have bad news. Women are not chayav in shofar. Okay, it is true that there is a long standing minhag to them to dance, that they are simply not chayav, not on any level.
Even before Yom Kippur.
What does that mean?
Eating.
Oh, that's actually a very interesting other shir about eating before Yom Kippur, because how to what degree is that linked with Yom Kippur? That was very clever on there. Is that also another package deal?
Yeah.
Sure, very good. That's a very good point. Okay. Josh Shapiro. Okay, it is something having to do with Pesach, but more specifically, Donnie Deutsch. Good. Why do you know that, Donnie? Okay, very good. So everyone let's get the exhaustive list and raise some questions and see if we see a pattern. If we made the exhaustive list, when do we say women are obligated in something because they were part of the miracle? We say it regarding reading the Megillah on Purim. We say it regarding the four cups of wine on Pesach. And we say it regarding the Hanukkah candles. Okay, now we already have a couple of questions. In theory, this could be a much more widespread argument. Okay? Because in theory, as we said, maybe that's the reason to them to be chayav in matzah. But that's not the reason the Gemara said. So that's one question. I'll go even further. Are women chayav to sit in a sukkah on Sukkot?
No.
Wait. But maybe afhein should obligate them there as well. So I would say we now have three questions. What are the parameters of afhein? When does it apply? When doesn't it apply? Why does it not obligate women in matzah? And why does it not obligate women in sukkah? Now, notice those don't play out the same way. Women are obligated in matzah, just on different grounds. Women are not obligated in sukkah. But either way, we can ask the question. Okay, here we go. Ben Weisfeld, last life over there. Guys, Ben is still jet lagged, even though it's like 3 weeks later since he came back. It's really remarkable. Okay.
Blame the Dodgers.
What?
It's the Dodgers' fault.
That's why, because you have to watch the Dodgers game?
Not intentionally.
Oh, but you didn't tell me that.
No, it wasn't intentional.
Why are you a Dodgers fan?
I don't know, really, my dad. Well, actually, my grandfather from
wow. That's really serious. Dating back to the Brooklyn Dodgers and Ebbets Field. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait till your grandfather, he followed, Duke Snyder and Roy Campanella. Wow, very impressive, very impressive. Okay, inside. Hearing
the Hasidim is both on Shavuot.
Okay, guys, why? Okay, why does listening to the Hasidim Dibur Torah not really count so much? I'm not sure that's a formal mitzvah. Right, there's a general mitzvah called Kriyat Torah, which we choose to fulfill in various ways. But I wouldn't say there's a specific mitzvah to listen to the Hasidim Dibur on Shavuot. Why is that? Because of Afein Botor Nes? Oh, that's an interesting question. That's not a big question. Okay, maybe it should be Chayav and Sekir HaMalek. Yeah, Josh.
What's the miracle in Sukkah that they would
have? Oh, that was a great question. Okay, terrific. We're going to go out of order now. Okay, we're going to go out of order for 1 second. He says, maybe Sukkah doesn't have an ace. Okay, so Evan, go to source 3. That was very good. Josh, you and the Netziv go together. Okay, so the Netziv, the Rashi Velazhin, has a parish on Gemara called the Meromei Sadeh. If everyone could skip to the third line. See what it says, below dummy? And the third line, source 3? Yeah? Okay, here we go, Josh. Write to your parents that you said this word. Below dummy lesukka, tip to road, afil mudurbanan. Why are they potter on every level? Af agav shagayim heimayu benes, ki besukka do shafti. Hayne mishum deshama, eino nechshav lenes. Maybe it's not enough to be part of the story. You have to be part of a miraculous story, or perhaps a salvation story. Shaharei ein b'zeh sipur hanes k'mo b'megilah v'leil rishon de Pesach. Notice what else he notices. On Chanukah, what term do we tend to use? We want to fulfill? Yeah, but what do we call it? Persume Nisa. Right? Notice, he points out, and you might think he's right, there's no source anywhere about the holiday of Sukkot that talks about Sukkot being an act of Persume Nisa. Maybe Sukkot, maybe not everything I want to historically remember falls into the category of Persume Nisa. So maybe Pesach does, and Purim does, and Chanukah does. Right? Maybe you need something miraculous, some sense of salvation from disaster, and maybe you don't have that in Sukkot. That's an interesting possibility. So Josh Alifas is right. According to the Netziv, Afeinu Boto Anes is much more widespread. The problem is Sukkot just doesn't qualify as an ace. And therefore, it is not machayev women in Sukkah. Avishai.
Are women obligated
in, I think we should assume yes, yeah.
So, would that be another category?
Well, the question is that not say?
Yom Kippur.
Right. So it is interesting, you guys are asking a very good question. What happens when I have a positive formulation, but it tells me to desist from something? Right, and we can see where that's a little bit borderline. Right, what does the Torah say in Yom Kippur? It's very interesting what you guys said. It never says, lo tochal. What is it? What's the actual formulation? Very good. Vinitem and asher techem. But at the end of the day, vinitem is telling you to refrain from something. Okay? So that's an interesting question, but not for us right now. Yeah, Mark.
How can you say that there was no miracle of Sukkot? Like, wasn't the act of like living in the desert and like Hashem providing us with manna, like, isn't that like some sort of miracle?
Okay, but even, okay, you might be onto something, Mark, but even think about the famous debate about Ananim, the Sukkot. Okay, you guys must have learned this in some of your schools. What's the famous debate between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Kiva about the Sukkot? Yeah, Josh Milstein.
Is it Mamish or is it the Ananim?
Okay, right. Are they Sukkot Mamish or the Anea Kavod? Now, maybe there's a little bit of a larger debate there, Mark, about are we talking about a more miraculous kind of survival or just... Look, life's hard in the desert, but there are things you could do. If it's Sukkot, Mamish, what does that mean? They build real huts and soldier through it, as it were. Right? So maybe there is a sense that life in Midbar is not... You're right, the mud is a question, but maybe it's not this fully miraculous experience. David Edwards.
We basically said that like all of our holidays have some days of part of it, or is it just default women are exempt from the social drama? And if there was a nace... And if the women were involved
in this,
then
hold up on your question. We do a little bit more. So guys, I'm going to take more comments in a minute. Let me just sneak in a little bit more. Okay, you're good? Yeah. Judah Berman, you're okay? You with me? You're looking a little out of it. Okay, guys, I know it's purely subjective, but I'm going to declare that Judah Berman has the nicest Hawaiian shirt in the yeshiva. Okay, I know it's purely, purely subjective. Gets extra points. Extra points for the pink collar and the flamingos. Okay, here we go. Now, there is one other thing going on here. One other thing that is going on here that we've not discussed yet. So if everyone could please look at the Tosfos in Megillah, the second source. Second Tosfos. I put two Tosfos on if we'll get to both. But the second one has the most important debate. Because you guys all gave a natural explanation. It's source two. You guys all gave a natural explanation to Afhein. We're now going to discover there's actually a little bit of a debate what the Afhein argument is. Okay, here it goes. Ready? She'afhein ubotzo anes, pirish Rashbam, she'ikar hanes haya al yadan. Whoa! Rashbam with a game changer there. What does say Afhein means? Not that they were part of the story, but they were the story. I mean, Afhein means women are the heroines of the story. Okay, that's a very different read. Now, let's see how Rashbam is going to plug it in. As he goes through it, guys, obviously some of them are much easier than others. What's the easiest of the three, of course? Yeah, you don't have to be a major feminist to say Purim is a female heroine. So here we go. Bipurim al yidei Esther. Okay, now what are you going to struggle with here a bit? Not so clear where Hanukkah is a female heroine story. So look what he says. B'Chanukah al yidei Yehudi. Now this is tricky, guys, because as far as I know, Yehudi does not appear in any classic Chazal stories. Okay, and I know Yehudi, but what's the legend of Yehudi? Ah, the Seidel brothers have arrived. Good to see you guys. Okay, guys, if anybody wants to go to IDC and they're curious about it, go speak to the Seidel brothers, to John and Jeremy. Yeah. Good. You guys know this legend that she fed the Greek Syrian general and then killed him. Obviously, very reminiscent of the Yael story in Tanakh. But in any case, if you accept this legend, so then you have a female hero in Hanukkah as well. And now for the last one, B'Pesach Shebischut Sadkaniot Shebotorador Nigalu. Right, there is an idea in Chazal that what enabled them to achieve redemption from Egypt. The righteous women of that generation. Now, those in my Chumash here for Shmo, I would claim, in some degree, that's pshat and not drash. Because if you look at Shmo, guys, okay, those in my Chumash here all know this, till you get to Moshe Rabbeinu, who are all the heroes? It's one woman after another, right? The two mialdot who refuse to kill the babies, right? The mother and sister who have a plan to keep the baby alive, and Bat Paro, who has mercy on the baby. So it's one female hero after another. So you could say that, and that leads to the savior of Israel being surviving, right? Moshe. So at that point, it's not such a stretch to say that women are the story there also. Okay, so what's Afhein according to Rashbam? Women are the heroes. Okay, hold that thought for a second. Now, Tosfos does not agree. And I think this machloket could change our whole analysis. V'kashe d'loshon she'afhein mashma she'hein tfeilot. Okay, my morning sure guys will like this. Okay, I keep emphasizing how much sensitivity to language matters. Even a little thing like the word af. What's the difference between saying shehein and saying she'afhein? Well, in terms of what resonance is created? If I say she'afhein hayubotones, so hein hayubotones. What does the af seem to convey?
That they were like a life partner.
Exactly. Right? Af means I've already got something in place. And what's off? Oh, also the women. But if I take the word off out of the mix, arguably it means they are the story. So now, says Tosfos, we don't like Rashbam so much, because then it shouldn't have said Afe Dobotones. Okay, so let me just sum up the machloket, and you guys will tell me the implications, and I'll take any question you want. So getting back to this whole argument, Afe Dobotones, that obligates women in pre-mitzvot, right, again, Arba Koso, Ner Chanukah, Mikra Megillah. We have Rashbam saying it means women are the story. They're their heroines. And we have Tosfot saying, no, it just means they're part of the story. Now, who could tell me, before your questions, we'll get to your questions in a second, what might be a nafka mina? What are the implications of whether I go with Rashbam or I go with Tosfot? How will it affect our analysis here, guys? Or even something we've already discussed. Who? Yeah, Aaron Levitt.
This has nafka minas in how we would apply this.
Okay, terrific. Give me a case where, let's say, the Tosfot argument would apply and the Rashbam argument would not apply. Sukkah, very good. Don't we now have a very smooth solution for the Sukkah problem? We're trying to figure out why women are not obligated in Sukkot. If I ask, let's say we invited the Rashbam and Tosfot to the dinner table. Okay, and David Sharik makes his famous Friday night dinner meal. They're having a great time there. And then David, and who's the other cook? Where's Moshe Zimber? We lost them again. No? Oh, and Chai Margulies makes his chili. Right, guys, we decided that we're going to craft the ideal Oraita Shabbat. Davi's in charge of Friday night. Chai makes chili for lunch. And we're good to go.
Right?
Who's good at, and obviously Mark Rich makes the Cholent, sorry. Yeah, now we're good. I know Cholent and Chili might be a bit overkill, but nonetheless. Okay. Okay, there we go. Okay. Okay, so in any case, where was I? There we go. And he asked the Rashbam, why are women not obligated to the sukkah after all? The Rashbam would say, my dear friend, that is not a problem in the slightest. What would the Rashbam say? Yeah, where do you have any female heroes in the sukkah story? There are no female heroes, so that's why women are not included. Whereas, if you're Tosfot, you're back to the question. So we're going to see a third answer now, as we know what just happened. We now have two approaches to the sukkah problem. We have two approaches to the sukkah. We have the Josh approach, which we saw in the Netziv. He claims sukkah is not even a nace on any level. And now we have the Rashbam approach, which is very simple. It's only about women being the heroes. Women are not the heroes of this. There is no hero of the sukkah story. Okay. Tani Gross.
According to Rashbam, like the reason that they would be involved in, the reason that they would be obligated in Pesach is because like the women like allowed for Moshe.
Yes.
Like, you could argue that it's the same thing for sukkah. It's like they wouldn't have been brought out of the triumph and they wouldn't have been in the desert if it wasn't Moshe.
Okay.
It's just further
interesting. Off. Look, I will agree with Tanya. I'm going to rephrase your point, but I like your point. Pesach is not as good as the Purim example, because Pesach is like they set it in motion. And maybe you're saying setting it in motion is not the same as actually carrying it out, where Esther, as it were, she does it. Yeah. Okay, I can hear the question. Yeah, Alicia.
Isn't there a much easier distinction between these three that even Rashbam and Tosfos will agree on, that they're all Minei Rabbanan?
Oh, very good. You guys are amazing. Okay, everyone go to the second page. Okay, we will see a Tosfot. Alicia Shmuel, very good.
Is that why you opened it with Tumim and Araisa?
Yeah. Sometimes if you listen to me carefully, I'm already hinting at the answer in the first sentence, Alicia Shmuel. Okay, here we go. So let's go to Tosfot. Okay? Gabi Edry, how's it going here? Are you feeling it today? Okay, good. Okay, let's see. Let us see the Tosfot over here, okay? Guys, don't say to me any day you're not feeling good, because then you're just going to get that for the rest of the year. Gabi Edry made like a fatal error. Okay. Okay, here we go, guys. So let's see the Tosfos on the top of the second page. Hayuboto Anes, Pirish Rashbam, Shal Yadam Nigalu, V'chein B'Megillah De Esther, V'chan Kadei Yudi. Right, so that's the Rashbam we already see, right? What does Afe mean?
They were
the story. Now here Tosfos again doesn't like it. V'kasha, the Af Mashma She'en Anikar. So his first objection is the same as the other Tosfos, right? The word Af seems to imply they're secondary, not that they're primary. Okay, next. V'od. It often pays to look at the other Shas, look at the Yushalmi. Okay, I'm sorry to do this, but Josh Shane, you are frighteningly addicted to your phone. You need this 3-day retreat desperately. Okay. V'od. To the Yushalmi. Garis. What? I'll be there on Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. I'll be there when Josh is in the middle of like desperate withdrawal systems. Okay. But oh, to be Yushalmi, Garis. What does it say to Yushalmi? Sha'apeinu bo tosafik. Now, what that again? Notice again how one shift in word changes everything. They're not part of the nays; they're part of the safek. What does that make it sound like? Mashma bota sakana. Safek doesn't sound like who brought it about. It's not about the miracle or about the salvation. Safek is about who is in danger. Who is it? Like their fate is doubtful. What's going to happen to them? So the claim is that also would be an argument against Rashbam, right? So Tosfos so far has two arguments against the Rashbam. Again, the language of Af and Yushalmi about Safek. Let's keep going. Guys, in 1 minute, I'm going to take comments. Where was I? Dlashmin Logal Abed. Now, Elisha Shmalo. V'hadda min t'p'tuot mi sukkah, avgat avi nebo t'oneis. Well, why are they exempt from sukkah? Ki b'sukkot shafti hatam ba'asei do'raita. Very good, Alicia. What does Tosfos assume? And I'll try to explain perhaps why. Af Hain is a great halachic force, but it's only a halachic force in rabbinic mitzvot. It is not a halachic force on a deraita plane. Now, once that's true, guys, all of Shas makes sense. What, again, are the three places we applied it? Megillah, Derabanan, Ner Chanukah, Derabanan, and Arba Kosot. Even though, guys, Pesach is a biblical holiday, Arba Kosot happens to also be The Rabbanim. So the only three places we applied is the Rabbanim. Notice how our two questions will also fall away. Why didn't the Gemara use it to obligate women in matzah? Why didn't it use a different argument? Because matzah is min haTorah. Why didn't the Gemara use it to obligate women in sukkah? Because sukkah is from the Torah. So at this point, guys, we have three answers to the sukkah question. Only one of which really works for Pesach. Okay, again, what are our three answers to the sukkah question? Af Hein does not obligate women in sukkah, either because Josh Alifas, there's no nace, or because the Rashbam, women are not the story, they're not heroes, or Elisha and Tosfot, oh, you misunderstood. Af Hein really only works on a rabbinic plane, not on a deraita plane. Okay, who had comments before that I haven't had a chance to say it? On anything, we've done so far. Okay? Noam. Alicia, can you just fill this with cold water? Thank you.
Yeah. It's a rule that you don't really understand, but it's just like...
Okay.
So it's still how the rabbis didn't come and say, like, we know how to make exceptions to this rule. Because if you don't understand the rule, then how can you kind of find details that are able to make exceptions?
Look, I'll discuss it more sometime. I'd rather not get... I think once we start Zman Gorma, there'll be no escaping the conversation. So we're going to just focus more on Afein now, if that's okay. Okay, who else wants... Yeah, David? Thank you so much.
I have one. Just, like, the whole Joshua DVD, right, is that coming from the Book of Hippocrates?
I'm trying to remember what the original historical source is. Guys, it is true... Yeah, I don't know if you guys are aware... You know, maybe I'll just do a brief aside. Who's our Jewish historian here? Who likes Jewish history? Okay. Oh, Josh Shane, very good. You could scroll the net for Jewish history sites. Okay. So, okay. Hey, poor Josh. Okay, you doing okay, Josh? Okay, great. Okay, so, it's kind of interesting because, I don't know if you guys realize this, Chazal do not spend very much time talking about Hanukkah. You guys realize, like, a famous question why they don't? Right? There is, a three-daf sugya about the halachot of Ner Hanukkah. But first of all, in the Mishnah, notice, actually, I'll give you a very good example, guys. Notice which chag does not have a mesechet. Right? Now, you might say rabbinic chagim don't have mesechto, but that's wrong because mesechah Megillah. So notice, Purim ranked a mesechet, and Hanukkah doesn't get one. There's no mesechah Hanukkah. And even in Gemara, guys, most of the Agadic legends you know are not from Chazal. They're from the Book of Maccabees or Josephus. I'll give you some good examples. Who learned in elementary school that Eliezer climbed under the elephant and stabbed the elephant from the bottom, but committed suicide and killed? You guys all learned that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Guys, there's no source in Chazal anywhere that says that. Okay, I think it's from the Book of Maccabees. I believe that's the source, the historical source. Now, I'm not saying the Book of Maccabees is lying. I'm just pointing out, notice Chazal did not emphasize all these Hanukkah stories. So it is an interesting question, like why that is. Why were Chazal not more adamant about telling the Hanukkah stories? So I'm trying to remember where the Yehudit story comes from. I'm not sure if it's even in Maccabees. I'll have to check that out. It might be only in Josephus.
I think there's like weird drama, like from something that's not in canon.
Look, I think for various, it's a good question. I think the Rashbam thought that his pshat and Af Hein works much better. Maybe because it accounts for sukkah or for other reasons. And therefore, I admit he's forcing it into it. He is forcing it into it. Okay, I admit it. Simple. Let's just think it through for a second. I don't think so. Because what are the mitzvot I say in Pesach? There is carbon Pesach, that's the Raita. There's matzah, that's the Raita. There's marar, and that's the Raita. Now you might, Sipur is also the Raita. So I'll tell you the only case where your question comes up, Simcha, how, and I have to think this through a little bit, how do we view something that used to be the Raita, but is today the Rabbanan? Right? That's an interesting test case, right? You see what I'm saying? For example, there is an idea. Some people think, okay, guys, let's just spell it out for a second. Some people think the mitzvah of matzah used to be deraita, but it's today deraita. Can we give an argument why that would be? Like, what changed? Well, how was matzah originally eaten? Together with Korban Pesach. So if I argue that, oh, that's not just a nice sandwich, that's inherently linked. So you might say, what's that? You might say that once we're absent the Korban Pesach, matzah is reduced from a deraita to a rabbanan. So, similar, that's the only thing I can think of. Some things that were once deraita that became deraita. Yeah.
Also, for sukkah, so mitzvah sukkah on the first night is expanded from the zero shell of matzah.
Okay.
So, could we not, if the same plus is hekesh and extends deep to its
Oh, that was extremely clever. Wait, where is that? That's definitely on one source somewhere. Give me 1 second. Did I not put it on in the end? Okay, we'll get there in a minute, okay? Ah, here we go. Let's go to, actually, we'll do simplest right now. I like very much what you guys are anticipate what the Rishonim were going to say. Or, I guess, historically, or Rishonim anticipate what you were going to say. Okay, so look, let's go back to source 2. Okay, let's go back to source 2, the Tosafot. Okay, now he is bothered by why we needed a special drasha for matzah. Okay, why do we need a special drasha for matzah? Shouldn't we just say, afe nu boto panes, right? We saw that question already. So you see which is v'yesh lomar, 3 lines to the bottom? Everyone have that? Which one? 3 lines to the bottom? I'm in the second Tosafot, v'yesh lomar, 3 lines to the bottom. V'yesh lomar, d'bushim hai tama, why do we like afein? Lo mechaiva ela midrabanan. So it's not exactly the same, but it's similar to Tosafot and Pesachim. Again, what's the argument? Afein only works on which plane? On a rabbinic plane. Elav mehekesha. And why is a hekesh better? Because a hekesh could work on a deraita plane. So if I have a hekesh between matzah and chametz, that's much better than afein. So again, we have this idea, similar to what Elisha Shmuel suggested, that afein only works on a rabbinic plane. Next. The Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yushalayim. Kind of interesting. I don't even remember who in the age of Tosafot lived in Jerusalem. There weren't that many Jews in Jerusalem then. But I guess this Rabbeinu Yosef did. I guess maybe he moved from France or Germany to Yerushalayim. Tireis de salka daitach b'miftere. I would have thought that women are exempt from matzah. Migzeira shava de tedvav de chaga sukkot. So simply, it's very interesting. He goes in the other direction. But I just point that it raises your point. Like, he is thinking, oh, maybe I needed extra work to make you chayv in matzah, because I could have said, we know women are exempt from sukkah, and we have this famous connection between the night of the 15th of Sukkot and the night of the 15th of Matzah, and that would have made me exempt them from Matzah as well. I mean, Afhain wouldn't have been able to overcome that. That's why I needed the other Hekesh to Chametz. So again, it's not exactly Simcha's point, but it is thinking along the same lines. Okay, Simcha, do you want to follow up?
Yeah, it was just like, where do we see that exertion of that? I'm pretty sure, like, it's just sort of
different. Okay, that's a good question. So I just want to make one point, even though Simcha is asking a good question, like usual. Okay, which is, I think it's important to realize, I've argued this with my morning share, that even when you use something like a Zera Shava or a Hekesh, and it seems like we've thrown human logic to the wind, right? Let's do a contrast, actually, about different ways we darshan halachot. Let's all agree, which of the methods of drashot, guys, is pure human logic? Very good, a Kal V'Chomer. I always say, guys, you do not have to be an Orthodox Jew to say Kal V'Chomers. Everybody says Kal V'Chomers. Right, and Josh Alifis might get up one day and say, if I could beat Zevi Lawrence at basketball, Kal V'Chomer, I could beat Solly Lerman. Right, that, Solly, is that okay, Solly?
No. That's all good.
Okay, so it's just natural, like it's a natural human argument to Kal V'Chomer, right? That's just the way it works. Okay, so, although it's funny, it's not my topic right now, guys, but some people argue that Kal V'Chomers are not true in the world of sports. Right, if A beat B and B beat C, it does not follow that in the next game, A will beat C. Okay, so this is not for us right now, but if anyone... What? Okay, if you want to discuss with me some other time, we can figure out why Kal V'Chomers might actually not be true in the world of sports. Okay, but in any case, so Kal V'Chomers, that's pure human logic. Everyone says Kal V'Chomers. Okay, but you would have thought that... I'm sorry?
I mean, in one-on-ones, you cut out like 100 variables.
Well, that's part of the problem. There are too many variables. I would also say a lot of sports has to do with matchups, right? So therefore, the matchups might play out. Like, what if, like, the other team has a 6'8 guy and your tallest guy is, like, 5'11, right? So maybe that's just, like, a matchup discrepancy that can't be compensated for, right? So there are various factors that might be playing a role, okay? But in any case, you might think that we get to Gzeira Shava or Hekesh, then we throw human reasoning out the door. But I don't think that's true. Because even if Xavier Shava says, I'm meant to learn things from A to B or from B to A, what could I then say? I need human reasoning to figure out what I should learn. Right? Surely there's still an open question. So if I think there's certain parallels between Sukkot and Pesach, or the first night of Sukkot and the first night of Pesach, obviously none of us have suggested, oh, there's a Gzeirah Shavah, guess what? I should eat maror in the sukkah. Right? No one has ever suggested that. Right? So I think, even there, I realize I haven't answered Simcha's question, but I am pointing out that we would need to fill out, like, what is a logical thing to learn out and what might not be a logical thing to learn out. Yeah, David. Which article?
The Adal one.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, he basically makes the distinction that all of the things that the rabbis find exceptions for women are things that they're able to do in their house, right? The other chagim, or like most other instances of Roman, require with me, and they were trying to develop a social strategy.
Okay.
Enforce a traditional role. Like, I just feel like this is, there's so much willful here to find what they're saying, and there's no like actual set principle of like what the rabbis are doing here. And it seems like they're just trying to find a way to allow the women to be high on these mitzvahs.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Look, you could. Okay, I'm gonna. Can I attack feminist theory for a second? Is that okay? You'll live with it, David.
I'll live with it.
Okay. Look, there is a danger, guys. Here's the danger. Okay, there are certain kinds of historical theorists which kind of what's the best way to say this? Portray everything as a power struggle, right? All of human history is a power struggle, either between, you know, the rich classes and the underprivileged, or between men and women, or between different races. Now, I would say this, guys. There's no question that power struggles are part of life. The problem is when they become all of life. Okay, I think we think about ourselves, like some of our motivation might have to do with power struggles, but not everything is a power struggle. I will give you an example. Like, wait, Avner, hang in there. Okay. Don't worry, the anarchists will have their word. Hang in there. Okay. Like, let's say my wife and I are discussing one night who should take out the garbage. I would like to believe that this is not some grand struggle between the patriarchy and the matriarchy. We just want someone to take out the garbage and we'll navigate it. It might have been the same as the discussion with myself and my brother, right? Not everything is this grand power struggle. So, I'm sorry? Okay, so if that's true, let's go back to the way certain historians analyze the rabbis. So I am not so prone in the sense that I will not tell you that the rabbis were above ever having, you know, power issues. No, the rabbis could have had power issues too. But that's not the same as saying that is all they are doing all the time. So here's where it plays out. Like, it's a little bit funny, David. Like, let's say you say the rabbis were really motivated to exempt women. Wait, so why were they mechayev women in matzah and kiddush? If you can, wait, and they tell me, oh, the rabbis were really motivated to be mechayev women, so why do they exempt them from sukkah? Now, I'm not saying you can't work out a theory, but when you see that things go in both directions, maybe it's not all some great power struggle.
No, that's exactly what you're saying. He was saying that all of the ones that they actually are made chayev and able to do, they're able to do inside of the house.
No, but A, when there are so many exceptions to the rule, and B, when it cuts both ways, I think it's harder to work it out as some kind of power struggle.
Most people weren't able to read, say that they could do crafts in their own homes. Like, I think
no, people are allowed to go to your house and read your Megillah.
All right, Avner, what did you want to say before?
I basically disagree with that.
Okay, there you go. Avner, don't be so cynical about humanity. We're not so bad. We do have power struggles, but we do other things in life also. Okay. That's right. Yeah, what about the animal kingdom? You think they ever get beyond power struggles? Okay. All right, here we go. Yeah, Alicia.
I have a question on Tosfos' question. Not an answer to this question.
Yeah, because I think I enjoy my job a little too much. Yeah, Alicia.
Tosfos says that you should make Gzeira Shava from Sukkah to Pesach, but do Gzeira Shavas often do Lekula? Like,
why can't Gzeira Shava? Why do you think Gzeira Shava only Lekula?
I haven't learned a lot of shots, but have they ever done Lekula? Like,
let me think of an example offhand. Gzeira Shava Lekula? Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm sure there are. I have to admit, one is not coming to my mind right now, but let me think about it, okay? All right, we're good, guys? Okay, let's see one more thing. Now, some of you might ask, so you might be wondering, oh, Afhain, if you like that svar a lot, why does it work on a rabbinic plane and not work on a biblical plane? Right, we've seen that idea a couple of times in Tosfos. But why should that be the case? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go after one more guy now. Okay, Ari Tartarko, what game are you playing on your computer right now? Okay. Wait, it's like a particularly embarrassing game?
No, it would just be admitting guilt.
Okay, fine. Okay. That was good, Ari, because you managed to admit guilt without admitting guilt. Okay. What?
We don't have the Fifth Amendment in Australia.
Is that true? Okay. Here you go, guys. Let's go to Source 8. Source 8 is... Source Ace is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay, so let's see what he says. Wait, where is it there? Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to do Source 7 and then Source 8. Let's go to Source 7 first. Now, who remembers who the Sfas Emes was? The Hasidic Rebbe from? Ger. I pointed out many times, guys, there is a stereotype that Hasidic Rebbes are good at Hasidus, not so good at Lamdas and learning. Ger disproves that for sure. The Sfas Emes on Shas is an amazing parish. Really amazing parish. Most people like the Sfas Emes on Chumash. I'm a big fan of the Sfas Emes on Shas. In fact, some of you have heard this from me already. Every year in the winter, there's a Hasidic sale of Sfarim. When is it usually? December? Okay. It's on Yutek Kislev, okay, which is an important date for Chabadniks. And that's right. Here we go, right, Tadarka. Something more exciting than whatever, TF2 is happening. Yeah. What? Okay, there we go. Okay, so now, okay, every year I protest and don't go. Because they sell a ton of Hasidic Svarim, but they don't sell the Sfas Emes on Shas. How could you have a Hasidic Svarim sale and not sell the Sfas Emes on Shas? Okay, so I do not go as a form of protest. Apparently my protest has had little impact thus far. Okay, so let us go to Source 7, guys. Okay, Source 7. So the last four lines. Ach beliza any yodei klal kamen atosud. The my tami l'chayim nashim matzah shebetoa neis. How can I mechayim nashim matzah because of toa neis? Look what he says, guys. Kiven to gzeirat hakatov hi. Since now we get to the tami mitzvahs part, guys. Since it is a divine decree, dipturin mitzvah man grama. V'atu tam mitzvah tum v'tzitz lo shayach bin hashem. Says surely the reason. If I go by the reason, what's the reason for tzitzis? Remember mitzvot. Surely women need that reason also. Umikomokom, and nonetheless, patrinu kwa, what's still true? Women are butter. Rak b'mitzvot rabbanan shayach tamzeh. Dimshim shebo toanes. I'm not sure if it's right, but this is philosophically, theologically very interesting. What's he claiming? Where am I more able to use tamia mitzvos to shape the halachic details of a mitzvah? What does he want to claim? I am much more able to do that in Durabanans. And there's certain logic to it. Right? Durabanans, we created the whole institution. So A, we created it. B, we know what it was motivating us. So at that point, you could say, knowing a certain rationale should very much impact on the scope of the mitzvah. So if we think it's about commemorating this great story, what could we then argue? Anybody who was part of the story should be in the mitzvah. He claims that that's not so easily done on a deraita. Maybe because we're less confident about what the rationale is. But I do think it's an interesting idea that Tami on mitzvot will impact on the halachic rulings on rabbinic level, but not on the right level. So maybe at that point, the Elisha Shmalo argument is not arbitrary anymore. Because it sounded a bit arbitrary. Oh, it's just the Rabbana, not the Raita. Why? Why is it just the Rabbana, not the Raita? But according to this, we actually have a good reason. Now, this is not my topic right now, but those who are curious, okay, I argue in an article somewhere that even on a deraita level, sometimes Tami mitzvahs play a role. That this easy split is not so easy. Okay, but not for us right now. Those of you curious could come over to me afterward. But I think there certainly is a certain logic to it, and we could appreciate what the Sfas Emes is saying. Okay, so the Sfas Emes is added one angle here. Maybe a logic to the Drabana and deraita split. Noam.
Is it clear from the shots, even that, like, the Emes is an
Ah, okay. Look, you're right. It's not explicit in the psukim, but there is a drasha which is functioning on a deraita level. So he's saying once you have that drasha, even though the tam would seemingly apply, women are exempt. We don't like use the tam as this overriding factor. Yeah.
What was the specific phrase you used for us? Like that means like describing what a mitzvah is about.
I keep using the phrase tam me hamitzvah.
Yeah.
Did you count that phrase in high school?
No.
That's the classic phrase for what's the rationale of the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah trying to accomplish? We usually call that, right, the tam, the reason. Tam mei ha-mitzvot. Okay? Yeah. Abishai.
So it seems to me that the question that we started getting in the first place was like, try, like the Tosfot and all these people were trying to reason why, what can apply in all cases to answer the question of why women are chayav. But now we see that it's kind of just saying, oh, only in cases of derabanan are we... Are we saying that it's easier to presuming he said stuff only applies in certain cases?
Or the argument of Ate and Obito Anes only applies in certain
cases. I feel like that doesn't really answer our overarching question of.
Which was?
In general, what reason? We used Af and Anes, to kind of say, okay, this is why they're obligated. But. Now we see that only applies in some cases.
Well, no, you're right. It fits perfectly with our third answer. You know, obviously, let me just do, guys, one second, guys. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do a 30-second review of what we've done. Then Simcha and Alicia are going to ask their points, and then I'll make the last point. Okay, guys, we're almost there. Okay, here we go. 30-second review. If I ask you now, why are women not chayav in sukkah based on afhein? We have seen three answers, right? If we asked Josh and the Nitziv, what would they say? There's no nace. Okay, if we ask the Rashbam, what would the Rashbam say? Women weren't the heroines. They weren't the heroes of the story. Okay, if we ask Elisha Shmalo and Tosfos, what would they say? Afhein only plugs in on a rabbinic level. But now Avishai, what have we just done? We've deepened that third answer. If we ask the Sfas Emes, oh, that was very interesting. Why is it that it only plays on a rabbinic plane? What would the Sfas Emes jump in and say? Because we're much more willing to use rationales to define the parameters of the mitzvah on a derabanan than on a deraita. So I think the Sfas Emes has given some depth to the Tosfos approach. Okay, now three or four comments, and then I'll do the last point. Donnie Deutsch.
I guess by the lulav, which is derabanan, could you possibly say they were involved there?
Okay, what's hanging though? First of all, you know what? It's interesting to me. You know, you and Simcha raised something that I never really thought about before. Like, how do you deal? Well, he asked about a deraita that becomes a derabanan. And lulav, you have something that has a deraita day and a derabanan day. That's very interesting. Do you understand what just happened? Okay, let's go back for a second. Can you go back to last week, Shirkali? Not last week. Whenever I last gave, who knows when that was? Remember the one on Tefillin and Cholamoy?
Yeah.
So remember, one of the ideas of what an oat was the mitzvah hayom, and therefore we said, oh, Cholamoy would be an oat because sukkah still applies. Everyone remember that? So one of you asked why did maybe after the shir? One of you asked why didn't Tosfos go with lulav? So the truth is, Josh Hall gave a good answer at the end of shir. Okay, is Josh Hall there? Okay, Josh Hall pointed out correctly to me. Maybe you don't realize this. Lulav outside the Beit HaMikdash, what kind of mitzvah is it? It's only deraita on the first day. The next 6 days are actually rabbinic. Okay, so therefore, sukkah is a better way to go than lulav, because sukkah would be deraita throughout the chag. So Joshua is absolutely right about that. But then Donnie Deutsch has asked me a really interesting question. If, in theory, afhein would apply to Sukkot, well, how do you deal with something that starts deraita but becomes derabanan? How would the Tosfos answer play out? It's a very good question. Very good question. Yeah, Alicia.
The Sfas Emes tries to deepen the answer of Rabbanan, but I think that doesn't make it much weaker.
Well, why is it weaker? Maybe if you don't find his reason convincing.
No, because we know the reason for tzitzis. It's so that you remember the mitzvah.
Okay, but what does he point out? Despite the fact that we know the reason, women are still exempt.
Exactly.
So maybe that shows that we're not able to use the right to reason so easily.
Why shouldn't we go to, if the point...
Okay, so Alicia has a very good point, actually. Let me just explain what Alicia is asking.
Gives it to you.
Okay, this is really a fascinating question, guys. I like it when halacha and machshava mix together. Okay, what is Alicia asking? He's saying, normally, if you ask the average Jew on the street, why can't you use tami mitzvot on a deraita plane? What will the natural answer be? Because we don't know what the reason is. So Alicia's pointing out, but wait, there are several places where Chumash itself does give the reason. So maybe at that point you could say, if it was all about our ignorance or underconfidence, well, we could overcome that when it's black and white. That is a very interesting question, but not for us right now. Yeah, simple.
How do we try to say that Tosfos, his response to Soka was Derabanan? But maybe that, like, why can we say that just his primary response?
And what's the...
Even within the Rashbam, he'd be like, hey, now, like, I also agree. I'm just saying, my shot is...
No, but didn't Tosfos reject Rashbam's reading about Afein?
Yeah, but even within his reading of Afein, it still wouldn't apply in the sense that Tosfos is just saying any... Afein is in miracles in which the miracles facilitated through human beings, then we have this thing. I mean, Tosfos, that's not the case.
That's interesting. You want to give, like, Tosfos has, like, a different version of Rashbam. Yeah. It's not a question whether it's men or women, but it has to be humanity brought into it.
And him giving the Derabanan is not because he doesn't think the other answer works. He just thinks it's more primary. He agrees. He's saying, I'm not saying it doesn't.
I understand. Simply, you'll put in your Sefer on... Actually, you have three choices. Sukkah, Pesachim, or Megillah. Okay, good. One last idea, guys, and we'll call it a day. You guys have been excellent today, as usual. Okay. What do you say? Should I go after it or let it be?
Go after it.
Okay, Josh Shane, how can you be on your phone again after I made fun of you like four times? Once we're trying that. Ari Tartak, are you back on the computer again? Yeah. Don't you have any shame? Like, you guys have no embarrassment? Okay.
I don't think Ari ever
okay.
stopped me. I never
what?
I don't think he ever closed.
No, I thought that little Chabad interlude, like, distracted him.
No,
no. No, the way the Hasidic sale didn't, like, break up the game?
And then you stopped talking about Hasidic and all
that. Okay. Wait, Ari, I thought you like, aren't you like partially rebelling against your high school experience?
No. Here I am.
Okay, there you go. Okay, last idea, guys. Let's look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Source 8. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Source 8 says, I'll do it outside because it's just an interesting idea. Okay, we've been talking the whole day about how things play out on the right of plane, how things play out on the run of plane. Okay, let's just talk about Megillah and Esther for a second, guys. Okay, if I derive a mitzvah from Megillah and Esther, what status should it have? So we normally assume, Derabanan, right, that it doesn't matter if you're from Nach, if you're not from Chumash, you're Derabanan. So for example, what status do the mitzvot of Matano Levionim and Mishloach Manot have? They are, they're rabbinic. Right, even though it says it explicitly in Tanakh, right, you could open our holy scriptures and it says, right, Shloch Manot Ishleu Matanot Lev Yonim. That doesn't matter. You need to be in Chumash to be Deraita, and otherwise you're going to win. So I just want to mention a very interesting idea that appears both in the Turi Evan and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. They claim that there's a third level, that there's a level they call Divrei Kabbalah, okay, which obviously in this context does not mean Kabbalistic mystical secrets. Okay, are you supposed to wake up again for a second? Okay, so that's not what it means. For whatever reason, I don't get to right now, guys. Nach is often referred to as Divrei Kabbalah. So just to file away for your general knowledge of halachic concepts, so then if you wanted to apply Tosfot to this Rabbi Akiva Eiger idea, what would we now wonder? Oh, if Afein works on a rabbinic plane but does not work on a biblical plane, how would it play out on this middle level called Divrei Kabbalah? So I'm not going to do the source inside. Those of you who could read it. But you should just realize, even though most of Judaism asserts that there are only two levels, there's only the right and the Rabbanan, there is no third category of mitzvah. Obviously, there's minhagim as well, but a minhag is not really a form of mitzvah. Right? According to some achronim, it does matter if it was derived from Nach. That somehow raised as a level. There's like this middle level called Divrei Kabbalah. All right. Everybody should have a wonderful evening and a great Shabbat.